Let's notice here, chapter 5 of Galatians and verse 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." May God help us as we study His Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that You would indeed guide us, that everything that is said and done would be to Your liking and according to Your direction. Father, that You would stir our hearts. You would help us to grow closer to You. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. We know that our tendency is to walk in the flesh. Even as a Christian, even as a believer, it is our default. But Lord, please help us to intentionally walk in the Spirit, to abide in the vine, and to be fruit-bearing Christians. Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. In part one, we talked last week on this topic, and we are either led by our lusts or we're led by the Spirit of God. As a Christian, we have the privilege of walking in victory, which is only found in walking in the Spirit. The unsaved person can only walk in the flesh. They just please themselves. Oftentimes they're miserable, but they're bound by sin. They are not a new man in Christ. They are the old man who is subject to the old master. And so they serve the flesh. They walk in the flesh. They live in the flesh. But God tells us, please notice in Galatians 5, notice verse 25, if you would. It says, if we live in the Spirit, that is, because we're saved, because we know the Lord, He lives in us, we live in Him. If we live in the Spirit, notice the last part of the verse. Would you read it with me? Verse 25, last part. Let us also walk in the Spirit. So it's possible to live in the Spirit. That is, to be saved, to have my dwelling with Christ. He is in me, I am in Christ. For me to live there, but to not walk there. I can be saved and I can do some very sinful things. I can be saved and I can try to do good things in my own strength. And neither one of those are good. I must do God's will in God's strength. Christ is the key to the Christian life. It is like Galatians 2 says, just back a page or two there probably in your Bible, Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul's testimony is here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that's in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so, back over to Galatians 5, verse 25, it challenges us as believers, as those who are saved, hey, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. And so, as a believer, we do have two choices on the shelf. We can please God. You see, the lost man can't please God because he's resisting. He's resisted God's love. He's resisted God's plan of salvation. He's at enmity with God because he's lost and in his sin. But we, if we've trusted Christ by faith alone, we are not lost in our sin. We are delivered from sin's bondage. We are delivered from sin's damnation. We have liberty in Christ, the liberty to please God. But just because we have the liberty to please God doesn't mean that we always do. Because we can still live in the flesh. We can still walk, I should say. We can still walk after the flesh, even though we don't have to. Christians walking in the flesh looks the same as when the lost person walks in the flesh. It's the fleshly things. And please notice, in your Bible here, in Galatians 5, the Bible gives a long list, and not an exhaustive list, but a lengthy list of what is produced, what the characteristics are of fleshly walking. All right? And so notice it says down here in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known, okay? So the fleshly works, the living in the flesh, they're made known. They're made manifest, middle of verse 19. Which are these? Adultery. All right? So here is unfaithfulness in marriage. Unfaithfulness is on the top of the list. And so these are some of the works of the flesh. Adultery. The next one is also of the sexual variety, particularly, and it's fornication. The Greek word here is porneia. Porneia, from which, of course, we get the word pornography. And the word fornication means illicit sexual sin. Illicit sexual sin. And so we have the works of the flesh. I'll read through this list and then we'll go back and work on understanding each of these aspects. So we're talking about fleshly living, walking in the flesh, walking according to the old man, the old nature, which is sinful and corrupt. And so adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the characteristics of the ungodly. These are the characteristics of those who are living after the flesh. They're pleasing themselves. They're living in the flesh, fleshly living. And he says, people who dwell here, it's evident that they are not God's. This does not draw you closer to the Lord. Rather, it is enmity against God. It is not the characteristics of godliness or those who are God's. So, adultery. Unfaithfulness in marriage is one of the characteristics. Fornication is also, and we're plagued today in our society with so much fornication from just all kinds of twisted sexual situations, absolute corruption and wickedness. And so uncleanness is the next thing mentioned here. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is a pretty broad word. It really speaks, of course, I believe we're talking about not someone who hasn't showered enough. I believe it's of the moral variety, or rather the immoral variety. In a moral sense, the dictionary says it's impurity of lustful, luxurious, flagrant living. Uncleanness, it's the impurity of lustful, luxurious, flagrant living. So, uncleanness, really, there is lots of different ways uncleanness can be packaged. There's lots of forms and fashions, but it's corrupt. It is unclean. It is not godly. It is not holy. And so when we're walking in the flesh, notice back in your Bible there, or it's on my back a little bit in my Bible, chapter 5 here in verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let me ask you a question. If I am not walking in the Spirit, where am I walking? In the flesh. So, what kind of things are going to be characteristics of that? Well, this list and more. The like things. The list is not exhaustive. And so, sexual corruption, uncleanness, and of course, some of these things can be in the mind. Of course, Jesus talked about adultery in the heart. Dirty thoughts in the mind. Corruption in the mind. And so uncleanness. The next word here in the last verse 19 is lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is unbridled lust. I mean, this is a runaway train. These are desires that are just, they are out of control. They are ruling. Unbridled lust. Also, it is described as excess or licentiousness. Excess, licentiousness. And so lasciviousness. These are just lusts gone wild, going their own way. The next word, first in verse 20, is idolatry. Idolatry. This is the worship of false gods, or really, even more detailed, it is giving to someone or something what only God deserves. Giving to someone or to something what only the true and living God deserves. That's idolatry. In other words, idolatry doesn't have to mean, you know, we have this idol that we dance around and pray openly to or something like that, as oftentimes maybe a heathen picture, a pagan picture of idolatry would be, an actual worship ceremony kind of thing to an idol of stone. But you know, although that still goes on today, it definitely does. But idolatry can be loving sports instead of loving God. Really where that something, and it doesn't have to be sports, it can be the vehicle, it can be a girl, it can be, you can name it, it can be someone or something that takes the place of God in our life, that we venerate, that is the thing we protect, and we give it the attention that really only God deserves. And so idolatry is a characteristic of fleshly living. Notice the next one, it is witchcraft. Witchcraft. I thought this was interesting. The Greek word here is pharmakia. Pharmakia. It's in the same family of where we get pharmaceuticals. All right? So witchcraft actually, the word actually is, the first part, pharma, is related to drugs. Witchcraft often involves magical arts, which often include drugs or other intoxicating, mind-altering things. And so, of course, it also is connected with evil spirits, demonic things, sorcery, praying or seeking familiar spirits, evil spirits. It's not good in any way, shape, or form. But you think of the drug epidemic in our world today. People seeking that which will alter their current circumstances, the drug epidemic. And so the very word in the Greek here for witchcraft, pharmakia, is related to, first part speaks of drugs. Interesting there. So works of the flesh turns to other things instead of God to try to accomplish things or to make things better. Witchcraft. And then the next one is hatred. Hatred. I don't know that we have to talk much about that exactly. I mean, we fairly well know what hatred is. It shows itself in a lot of ugly ways. Some hatred is more quiet and reserved until it explodes. Some hatred is very obvious on the outside from the beginning. But enmity, fighting, disdain for someone else, hatred is one of the works of the flesh, one of the fruits of the flesh. The next one is variance. Variance here in verse 20. Variance is strife, debate, particularly contentious debate. And so variance is people who are at odds. They're argumentative. They're striving with one another. Variance is one of those fruits of the flesh. All right, next one. Emulations. Emulations. This Greek word actually is sounded this way. It sounded zealous. Zealous. And it can mean just passionate. All right? So emulations. This is an amazing amount of passion, but particularly for like a bad kind of passion, not a love for God, not zealous for God, but a jealousy, an indignation, and an envy. So a passion of jealousy, a passion of envy, a passion of indignation. So emulations, a strong desire of a bad variety. All right? And so then the next one is wrath. The root word of wrath is literally to kill or to slay. Wrath. Wrath could be understood as fierceness or literally heat. Heat. Anger forthwith boiling up, outburst. And so wrath, this is fleshly. This is part of the flesh. This is the fruit of the flesh, is this heat, fierceness, wrath, kill, outburst, boiling up. The next one is strife. This is contentious again. And also the idea here of putting self forward, putting self forward, strife. The Bible says, only by cometh contention, right? Only by pride cometh contention. And so strife. Seditions is the next one. This is, if we're walking in the flesh, this is some of the flavor of what's going to happen. Seditions. Literally, the word seditions means to divide or to cause a division, a dissension. The idea here of inciting rebellion against authority. Inciting rebellion against authority. Seditions. That's what is produced by the flesh, to divide. Heresies is the next one here. The last one in verse 20. Heresies. The act of taking, think about that, heresies, described as the act of taking, capturing by force or with ideas. Think about that, heresies. You know, we think of false teaching, which is true, but the word means here taking, capturing. Interesting. And so we see that the word also means to choose, literally to choose one's own way. In other words, that's where false teachings come up from, is there someone doesn't want the truth. They say, well, this is what I think. This is my way. I'm going to choose my own way. I'm going to read what I want into this. And so heresies, the act of taking, capturing by force, choosing one's own way. So we can see the danger of heresies, as it is often, it often does capture, it often does gain a following by its teaching, by its ideals, by its falseness. But it's interesting definition there of heresies. And so God says this is part of the works of the flesh. Next one is in verse 21, envyings. Envyings is resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or circumstances. Envyings. Resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or circumstances. Murders. Well, murder pretty well means what you think it means. It means to kill or to slaughter. And of course, I'm sure we could describe it further, but it is, there's murder of the heart, hatred, and if we could do it, we would, kind of thing, and that's wrapped up with the flesh. Drunkenness is the next one. Drunkenness. This is intoxication. Intoxication. Then the next one is revelings. Revelings. Drunken parties. Carousing around. A noisy, lively drinking party. That's revelings. The party life of the world. The world loves its parties. They love their alcohol and other corruptions that go right along with it of wicked things, but revelings. And so God gives this list of these are the fruits. These are the, we don't want to call them qualities, but the characteristics of fleshly living. It's all types of corruption here. And God describes to us here in verse 21 that this is not the end of the list. In other words, there are other, you know, details that could be named here of the qualities, or the, I should say, the characteristics of fleshly living, but he says, such like this, things resembling these things, all right? You get the idea of what fleshly living produces. It's the drunkenness, the uncontrolled given to wine, given to alcohol, the party life, the murder, the resentful longing of envy, the heresies, people choosing their own way and capturing followers, seditions causing division, dissension, rebellion against authority, strife, this is contention, putting self forward, wrath, boiling up, fierceness, heat, outburst, emulations, this passion of jealousy, of envy, variance, that striving, debating, contentious type of behavior and attitude, hatred also, and then witchcraft, this evil spirit, demonic sorcery, really turning to other things like drugs and alcohol instead of to God. Turning to spirits instead of the Holy Spirit. Idolatry, putting other things in God's rightful place. Lasciviousness, that unbridled lust. Uncleanness, simply that is which is impure. It is corrupt. And then the sexual sins of the mind, of the heart, of the body, of fornication and adultery. And so we get enough of a view of what fleshly living looks like. But in deep contrast, God says, verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's so much different. The fruit of the Spirit, well, there you're going to see love. Love. Joy. The joy of the Lord. Oh, not just when things are going well, but even in adverse circumstances. Even when someone does you wrong. Joy. Peace. Not hatred and variance and emulations and peace. Peace. Long-suffering. Oh, someone did do you wrong, or the situation is very difficult. You're going to bear under the load. Going to stick by the stuff. Going to be faithful. Going to be kind, even when others are not. Long-suffering. Gentleness. There's just really a kind and compassionate, gentle goodness. I'd like to go into more detail along the way here, but not this morning. But goodness. I mean, there, just like the Bible used the word up in verse 19 of uncleanness to describe the works of the flesh, we have here more or less the opposite of goodness. I mean, everything that's good and wholesome, not just good in the sense of, you know, that tasted good, but in the moral sense of all that is just absolutely wholesome. That's, the Spirit of God is all over that. It's all about Him. Faith, that's dependence upon God. A reliance upon the Lord. A trust in His Word. Meekness. Meekness is strength under control. Here is the picture of a strong man who can hold a gentle newborn. Meekness, strength under control. Also, meekness, the idea of the word meekness is literally a lubricant. A lubricant. In the engine of your car, you have a lubricant, motor oil, that is very vital to the operation of that high temperature, high friction functioning engine. Without oil, that engine would not run but a minute or two, maybe five. And it would seize. It would lock up because of the heat and the friction. Meekness is a lubricant. It lubricates. Even in intense situations, it can disband the heat. It can reduce that friction and tension. Temperance. Here's just a steadiness. Just a mildness. Not a half-hearted kind of thing, but just a steadiness. Steady plodder. Going to do what's right. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then God gives us this admonition in verse 25. He says, if, hey, I'm writing to save people. He says, if we live in the Spirit, hey, this is what we have available. This is who we are in Christ. We are no longer the murderer and the adulterer and the one who is at variance and the one who is involved in hatred and wrath and seditions and heresies and drunkenness. He says, hey, we are Christ's. We are delivered from the flesh. We're delivered from the bondage of that living of fleshly corruption of the sin. We're delivered. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. There's that self-promotion or self-gratification. Hey, that's not the reason that's not the Christian life. It's not for self-promotion. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. Oh, there's that emulation, that variance, strife. No, that's not part of the Christian's life. That's not part of what, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's just not part of it. Provoking one another, envying one another. And so he's calling believers to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To live like who we are in Christ. And again, not in the strength of the flesh, but in the submission to the Holy Spirit. In a submission to the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 in chapter 5 here tells us to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are only two choices on the shelf. Someone once said these words, of course, pleasing God or pleasing self. And those are true, and this is the Bible words. Walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Those are the only choices on the shelf. I mean, we're either going to live after the flesh, which is exactly the way the devil wants us to live. I mean, every temptation, he just caters to the flesh. If we respond with the flesh, he's got us. It's good. It's well, not good, but I mean, good for him. He's got the trap. He's got us in the trap. He's got us going the way he wants. Fleshly living produces seditions, variance, emulation, strife, murders, hatred. lies, heresies, captures people, poisons people. But walking in the Spirit is our privilege. And so, as we yield to the Spirit of God, we can see the love of God. Not self-produced love, not work yourself up. I'm going to love this person, boy. They're hard to love, but I'm going to love them anyway. And well, yes, I mean, we need to intentionally love someone, even if they're difficult to love. But we need to be yielded to God so that He can fill us with His love so that we can love. And so, moment by moment, step by step, that's why the Bible describes this as walking, is because it's not like, yeah, I was there, now I'm going to go over here for a little while. No, we left there. Now we got the fleshly stuff's going to come out. And of course, you know, if we've been saved for a while, we're a mature Christian, I mean, you know, it doesn't usually show itself as obvious as murder and hatred and drunkenness, but the more we live after the flesh, the more we follow the flesh, it will get there. Sometimes fruit takes a little time to mature. So God calls us to walk in the Spirit. This is the way of victory. If we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The victory of the Christian life. Let us walk like who we are. Heavenly Father, we are frail. We are so prone to walk in the flesh. And sometimes in a hypocritical way, that we can make the flesh look pretty good, at least for a while. But Lord, you know us inside and out. You know our every motive. You know our dependence, our power source, whether we're depending on you or whether we're fleshly living, fleshly walking. And we know that in the flesh we can't please God, only in the Spirit. Only by walking in the Spirit, only by a yieldedness to you, a dependence upon you. Lord, we pray that you would show us these areas of which have not been yielded, areas which we have been pleasing ourselves, going our way, doing our thing, instead of a yieldedness to your Spirit, to your will. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see those areas and that you would help us to yield those areas to you and see your victory come into those areas as well. Lord, we thank you for the victory that is in Christ, that we can live for you, we can please you, we can do your will. For we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Lord, I thank you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.